It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score, don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel's
gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score, don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score, don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this, well, it's the last Saturday in August, August 25th, 2018. And we welcome you here to a beautiful radio ranch, and we'll welcome the men on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And all the way from Nebraska. Good morning, Brother Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
And again, we thank you, the remnant, for joining us, tuning in, taking time. Hopefully you got your coffee poured and your Bible, and we'll welcome you to our coffee program. John, we'll look to you to open us in prayer, and then we'll, who knows where we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all of our many blessings, Father. We thank you for the provisions that you make for us each and every day. And Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the things that we take for granted on a daily basis. We know that all that we have is from you and your blessings that you shed upon your people in accordance with your word, if we follow what it is that you tell us to do. Lord, we do ask that you remember grace and mercy and your wrath for your people. Father, I ask that you would raise up mighty prayer warriors all across the country, Lord, and across the world, that would dedicate the time that needs to be dedicated to the spiritual warfare, prayer, Father. We're facing a time, especially in this country, J-E-R, USA, L-E-M, like never before, where the enemies of God have merged together, and they've pulled out all the stops, and they're doing everything they can to derail the path back to you that's been taking place, and this country, Father, they are indeed gnashing their teeth just as your word said that they would. But Father, we know that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. And we stand on those promises. Father, even now we ask, just as your word says in Hebrews 1:14, that you would send your ministering angels out there, Lord, to minister to those that can come to repentance, to remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, Father, and that they would fall upon their face and cry out and ask for forgiveness. And Father, I ask that you'd send your guardian angels to protect those that seek to do your will, that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and fulfill the Great Commission, and send your warring angels to battle Leviathan. Father, we know that all of those evil ones are joined together in this last-ditch effort to put the final nail in the coffin. But Father, we also know that there's example after example in the Bible of when your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you do hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And Father, we know that you gave us a glimpse of that in this last election. I just pray that the watchmen over the house of Israel would once again not fall asleep, Lord, that we would stay awake at our post, and that we would warn the people, just as your word said, that if we see someone living wickedly, we are to warn them to turn from their wicked ways. And if we don't warn them, then their blood is upon us. But if we do warn them and they perish, then their blood is upon them. So guide and direct us this morning, Lord. Give us the words that your people need to hear. Give us the stories that need to be revealed. We just praise you, and we love you, and we give you all the credit in the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Plead the blood of Jesus over us, Lord, to not only cleanse us of any impurities, but to protect us, Lord, knowing full well that it's nothing but the blood that will give us victory against the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
And amen. Well, folks, we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to give us a call, if you have a question or a comment, be glad to do that. I have my Bible, when I opened it up, the Proverbs, it was Proverbs 29:18 this morning said, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law." And we talk a lot about, you know, I know our pastor taught in the past that, you know, that being happy is a frame of mind. And to be happy, it tells us right here, we have to keep his law, we have to have his law. And there's not a lot of happiness here in this land because we don't keep his law. I think a good example of that is this Molly Tibbetts case from Ohio that's been in the headlines. In some news media outlets anyway, college student, and apparently was run down and stabbed, and I don't know what all happened, by this Bahina Rivera, who had been living in the U.S. illegally for the past 4 to 7 years. And
that's not his name, it's Christian Rivera, don't you know?
Yeah, Christian Bahina Rivera, 24-year-old from Mexico. And he admitted to it. He said he's used a stolen or a fake ID and fraudulent Social Security card to work. They want his attorney wants the government and the law enforcement to stop calling him an illegal alien.
I'll bet he does.
But he is an illegal alien. But he basically admitted to it, admitted to killing her.
Well, yeah, because they got video evidence of it, that's
yeah.
why.
So, but we see this, and you know, we think about it at sometimes that, oh, it's an outrage, and it should outrage us, but it doesn't. We read about it, and we see, you know, that this Molly Tibbetts, in the words of the Democrats and the liberals, you know, she's separated from her parents and her family now as well. You know, like those 204 illegal youths that came across the border. But this is what we have in our society today. You know, there's no happiness in their family. They've lost their beautiful young daughter. You know there's no happiness in that family because there's no law in the land. And this will get drug out, and Miss Molly Tibbetts will be all but forgotten about, you know, it will become more more important who it was that killed her and why he was here and all of those, you know, how he's supposed to be here and we're supposed to accept it, and that will be what's on the forefront. Not that he's admitted to it, and so the law is very clear, you know, that he should just be put to death and then it's over with. And then happiness would be back in the land. But that's not what we see. That's not what we see. And you couple that with Chicago every weekend setting new records for shootings, for killings, and you hear nothing about it. And it just is, an apt description. I don't want to call it good, but an apt description of just the lawlessness that is in the land. Because the churches push and promote that the law's been done away with.
Yeah, sure is sad. But you're right. I mean, until it hits home or close to home, most people don't realize the impact of what's going on. I think the sad thing is, probably when she was first reported missing, you wonder how many people actually went to prayer, you know, that she would be safe and found without harm. And I would say that the number is probably very small. I guess that's the big lesson, is we as the Christian followers of Jesus Christ, when we hear about these things, I think we should petition our God right at that point to send his angels, his guardian angels and his warring angels and whatever else to protect that person. And I know we've done it in the past, and I have to admit to my shame, when this first happened, I didn't, and I repent of that. But like you said, unless it hits closer to home, we don't take these things as seriously as we should. So
right.
I would say let that be a lesson to us when we hear of anything that we know in our spirit is something that we need to join together and pray against the evil, because that's what it is. It's evil. And you know damn well that he raped her. You know, if they don't give us that information yet, they're probably going to try to keep that from the public as much as possible. But you can bet that he raped her before he killed her.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, you just look at the numbers. I mean, this is one case, but 19 boys, 17 girls between the ages of 13 and 20 went missing within a 10-day period, and that was in Iowa alone.
Wow.
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers are astounding, and it's. These are weird cases. And me and Richard were talking about it earlier in the week, and, you know, you don't know what's going on, but it's not just happening in Iowa, it's been happening in Oregon, too. And there's places where people, they know that they're at point A and they're headed to point B, and between a 20-mile stretch or a 100-mile stretch, all of a sudden they're just gone. Vehicle's gone, car's gone, no sign of them, no cell phone pings, nothing. Just vanished off the face of the earth. You know, it's happening in a lot of different places, and I don't know what, but that seems to be about about the demographics of it. It's happening to boys, it's happening to girls, it's happening, you know, generally between the ages of 13 to 20. Out in Oregon, they've had a couple of them that were a little bit older, but yeah, it's just, I mean, it's an epidemic right now. I know that there's a lot of people out there praying. Howard says, Howard's been praying for them a lot up in Alaska, and you know, I think that's one of the things. Every time you hear one of those or get one of those missing persons reports, or you know, with these Amber alerts, you know, you it's important to stop and pray, just like you said.
Amen. And I think it's important too that.
Well, why don't we do that?
Yes.
Let's pray for those that are missing. Heavenly Father, we ask that you forgive us, Lord, for the times that we get so tied up in the things of the world that we don't care enough for those that are victims of evil and wickedness all through the land. And Father, we cry out, Father, for grace and mercy and protection, Lord. We cry out that you would send your guardian angels even now, Lord, to protect those that may have been abducted, those that may have been kidnapped, or Father, that are taken by those that have evil, wicked plans. Father, send your guardian angels and send your warring angels to battle Leviathan. Father, give someone who is a man of God, someone who is a believer, a true follower of Jesus Christ, the gift of knowledge, Lord, to know what it is and where they can be found. And Father, let the prophecy go forward to show where these people are being taken. And Father, deal with those that commit these crimes biblically, not as man's law, but with God's law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 You know, time and time again, we I guess it was from the from the pastor, from the Holy Spirit, but Hosea 4:6, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And God does not change. He is no different today than the day that this was given to the prophet Hosea. It is no different. And we see the result of that in the land. But if this is true, and this is true, you know, as a people, when we forget the law of God, He forgets our children. But the flip side is true as well. When we repent, when we return as a people to God, as a family, as an individual, because that's where it starts. When we remember the law of our God, He remembers our children. And that needs to be taught from the pulpit. That needs to be shouted from the streets and blasted out on the airways, that when... And isn't that the theme? You know, that ties in with Second Chronicles, when my people humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and return to me. When we, as a people, repent and return to Him, when we remember His law, He remembers our children. And if more people remembered His law, I think less children would be harmed in this way. It is just as simple as that.
Well, and this kind of ties back into that, I don't know, there's a lot of child trafficking stuff going on right now, and there's been very little information on the mainstream media about it, but they scooped up the Seagram's Aerosat, what was her name, Claire Braun. She's a Rothschild, you know, connected individual, but they've arrested several different women and men in regard to this thing, and I mean it's huge. I mean, you've got this Bronson gal, and you've got there's a couple of Salzmans in there, and some others with this organization, and they were trafficking children and young adults south out of, I think it was Arizona, New Mexico, in that area down there. And the indictment against her was you know, identity theft, harboring of aliens for financial gain, extortion, forced labor, sex trafficking, money laundering, wire fraud, obstruction of justice, the list goes on. And it's like that, you know, it's warfare. I mean, that's what it is. We've talked about that before, about these aliens. That's the word the Bible used, these aliens coming in and raining that down on our people. And I think, you know, it all ties in together. I mean, when you look at it and the horrors that go on and treating people like cattle and just running them around and doing that, treating our people that way. So, and it's a terrible thing. And I think that the more you take God out of everything, the more we look at that. There was a one thing that I seen this morning that was you know, you just don't. There's things that just, but in Fredericksburg, Virginia, a semi-retired Lutheran minister was asked to lead a Bible study for about 20 people at a, it's a, you know, an assisted living, you know, nursing home scenario. And as I understand it, he lives there, but suddenly they decided they didn't want him to do that anymore, so he moved it to his own apartment, and now they're talking about evicting him. And they want him to call it a book review, not a Bible study. But there's a big stink over that, and it's like, I'm sure that if he was reviewing some other book, there wouldn't be an issue. But it's just,
yeah, or what, like a porno flick or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, but. You know, these are the things that were, and these are people that in the privacy of his own home. I mean, so there's another.
It ties in with what's going on in California too, though, where there's.
And it's interesting in this case that there were several residents of the same place that they tried to interfere with the Bible study on several occasions. They were harassed several times by several different people on verbally abused. People trying to get in the way of people wanting to go to the Bible study, you know, and a lot of times that you see things like this, but there's those terrors that are in there that are just trying to, they're doing their job, and I believe that it's because the Bible's true, and they are of their father the devil, and they do seek nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy. And there was actually several people that were, you know, kind of the root cause of that whole deal, and trying to get them arrested because, and that's what they do. They just keep going back and complaining about this and complaining about that and harassing them and doing this and looking for every little bit of problem. And you know, it's like those are the ones that need to be bound, bundled, and escorted to our Heavenly Father and brought before His throne and left up to Him to be the judge and deal with them as He sees fit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, you look at California, what's going on there, too. We've talked about it here several months ago when it was initially proposed, and it was basically the ban on anyone trying to convert someone who may have homosexual tendencies or transgender, you know, may be confused based on probably the education they're receiving in the public school system. But anyways, that's, I think it's passed the House, and I'm pretty sure it's passed the Senate, and now there's people petitioning for Gary Moonbeam Brown to veto it. Well, you know that's not going to happen, but in reality, what it's going to do is ban the sale of the Bible, because the Bible is clear about homosexuality. And, you know, the sad thing is as California goes, so goes the rest of the country. So we are facing a time in this country unlike any in my lifetime, at least, as far as good versus evil. And, you know, just like the Bible said, that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. And I believe we can conquer the, you know, and gain the victory, conquer the enemy and gain the victory. But it's definitely, it's a spiritual warfare, and the only way that we're going to win this thing is through that fervent prayer and crying out to God and calling for those angels, the guardian and warring angels, to fight these battles for us.
I agree. I think that, and the hypocrisy of what, and probably, you know, if you can see it, that's great, but if you went in and tried to change the mind of a transgender, homo-type person in there, that's considered, they're trying to make that criminal, but it's all right,
right,
for these people in this Bible study case to go in there and try to do away with that. You know, I mean, it's like, so.
Well, it's definitely a double standard.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely a double standard.
Well, the good news is that God's hearing and answering our prayers, and the things in the dark are continuing to be brought to the light almost on a daily basis. The fact that the synagogue of Satan has been exposed, at least in Pennsylvania, I think it was 300 priests that have sexually molested thousands. There are 1,000 at least have come forward, but it's in the thousands how many have been molested. And I read an article this week about how basically the reason why there's so much homosexuality in the Catholic Church, at least in a lot of these areas, is that in the monasteries or whatever they call it, the homosexual culture is widely present, even as they're going through the education to be a priest or whatever. And they're saying that like 80% of those priests that committed these crimes were themselves victims as they went through the clergy appointments or whatever. And but you know, if that's just in Pennsylvania, well, you know that it's present in every state. So there's another thing that we just got to keep praying, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, you know.
Yeah. Amen. Well, and I had, you know, a positive note was, speaking of really goes right in with what you're saying about standing and doing all that, was in Atlanta, Georgia. They had a charter school down there. The principal, her name was Lara Zelsky. She just decided that students would no longer recite the Pledge of Allegiance during the school's morning meetings. And they decided they were going to have the students write a global pledge to the global community. And you know, this all came out. And the parents come up in arms. And then the Georgia House Speaker, David Ralston, he's a gubernatorial candidate named Brian Kemp down there, they came out and publicly denounced the decision, and they had a big fit. The parents put a lot of pressure on them, and the next day they rescinded that, you know. So I thought that was a blessing. I mean, that was the Lord answering prayer, and seeing those people take a stand was exercising some muscles there that say no, you know, that's not going to happen. They were exercising the no muscle. So I thought that was a kind of a, and there wasn't a lot of public exposure on that, especially on the part of them rescinding it. And there was some national headlines on them taking it out, but they didn't have much to say when they rescinded it. But that's,
yeah, they don't, you know, like to show when they lose.
No. Yeah, they don't want to say it. That's a back page piece of information there. So, but they did rescind it.
It takes so little sometimes, you know, to make a difference. We think that there's nothing we can do. Well, that's not true. There's a lot we can do. And like Jason has started to go here for quite a while, has gone to these city council meetings. I think if we just go there and we just pray, that's it. That's all we got to do is go there and pray. And if they ask us what we're doing, oh, we're just keeping evil in check. You know, that's pretty much what we're doing, keeping evil in check.
Amen.
Well, you know,
well, and they,
Go ahead, Jason.
Talking about prayer being answered on even a global scale, you know, it wasn't that long ago we started praying for, you know, with the situation, what's going on in South Africa. And I don't know if anybody saw the headlines on Thursday, but it was, I'll tell you what, it was awesome, I thought, because it was the South African politician, Julius Malema, confirmed President Donald Trump's concerns Thursday, declaring definitely that the point of the country's proposed new expropriation without compensation policy would be to take land from white farmers. Through land expropriation, we are forcing white people to share the land in which was gained through a crime against the humanity of black and African people, he said in a press conference, referring to the racist land policies of colonial. Wednesday evening, Donald Trump tweeted that he had directed Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to closely study the South Africa land and farm seizures and expropriation and the large-scale killing of farmers. And, you know, I mean, that's an answer to prayer. I mean, at least now, yes. Now they're looking at it. Now, it's, I mean, they're looking at it, and then, you know, he's directed people to monitor it, see what's going on there. And, you know, hopefully that, hopefully something's happened there, because it's happening in just, it's an epidemic of white genocide over there. I mean, they're just trying to destroy the white people, and they're taking their land. And, you know, is what people aren't telling you is, you know, it's the farmers, it's those white farmers over there who's feeding the whole country and a large part of the world. They've got some of the, you know, most profitable farms and ranches over there. And, you know, they kick off and they take that land back and they give it back to the black people. They're going to starve themselves to death.
They are, because the black people are not farming. They're not keeping the tractors running. They're not disking the fields. They're not planting the seed. They're not doing any of that. They're taking the land back, or taking the land. To say back is improper, because it was never theirs in the first place. The white Dutch, the white Boers, settled that land, and the blacks only came into that land after it was settled. You read their history, but their history is being rewritten just like ours, is.
I've believed for a long time that there's no shortage of food in the world. I mean, we see that going on. It's about economic issues. I mean, and Venezuela is absolutely the perfect example of that.
Yes.
There's, you look at the situation in Venezuela. It was a flourishing country. It had businesses flocking to it. It had plenty
of oil.
And, yeah. All the natural resources that you've seen, and then suddenly they decided to vote in this socialist dictator that they've got down there, and all of a sudden they can't even get toilet paper or feed their people, you know, or anything else. It's not about there being enough food raised in the world to feed the people. It's about whether the economic situation will enrich those who think they need to be in power enough to you know, it's a weapon. I mean, that's all it is. And when we see those things, I mean, I thought that a long time. If you look at Mexico, for example, natural resource wise, Mexico has, you know, they've got gold, they've got all beautiful farm ground down there, they've got good climate, they've got all of these things that are just really better than the United States as far as, you know, economic development and feeding people and all those things. But yet they're poor and they're destitute. And the reason is because they lack godly guidance and godly stewardship in the use of those things. And, you know, was it de Tocqueville that said, you know, when America ceases to be godly, America will cease to be great. And that's the issue. You know, that's the lesson, the takeaway.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. Somebody doesn't like what you're saying, because you've been cutting out and repeating and since the beginning.
Yeah, I'm working with our broadcast guy in Pennsylvania, and we've had to restart the stream here, and
okay.
That's how it goes, but
Lord, you heard the request. We want this program to go through.
Amen.
Thanks, Bill.
Amen, bye. Bill. Thanks. Yeah, the just like the was mentioned earlier, the story. Can't have a Bible study in a retirement home. What is this country coming to? Not preaching, not mandatory that you have to go there, but just a few people getting together and studying the Bible. Just that semblance of good, that little bit, is too much for the Antichrist, too much for those that as you said, Jason, do the will of their father, the devil. They are doing what they're supposed to do, causing problems, causing others to stumble. They don't enter in, the Bible says, and they don't want anybody else to enter in either. And where are the churches? Where are the pastors around there in an outrage? Maybe offering their church, maybe offering to bring a bus down and pick the old people up and bring them, to where they can have a Bible study maybe at their church. Or protesting against the assisted living facility or whatever it was. No. You know, where are the lawyers coming out saying, you can't do that? And it's not. We don't see that at all.
Yeah, I remember a pastor told the story. I never knew it until he told it, but how Haiti, such a desolate, worthless land now, used to be some of the most fertile farmland in the world and a major producer of crops. And what happened there was the same thing that's happening in South Africa, that the blacks rose up and killed the white farmers. And then the way I remember the story, they sold off the land. I think it was it to Russia or something, that came in and basically clear cut, took all the resources and made it the desolate land that it is. And it's kind of funny but sad when I'm dealing with some of these students that I work with. They're trying to convince me that socialism is a good thing. And I said, what the heck are you talking about? And they're like, socialism is a good thing. And I said, it's communism. And they said, no, it's not. Don't quit calling socialism communism. And I said, what? It's just another name for it. What are you talking about? I said, go look at what happened in Venezuela. That's the most recent example I can show you of how socialism doesn't work, you idiots.
Yes.
Somebody has to work. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. I can't help it that you're brain dead, but it's kind of pathetic, really, in a way. And some of them are, older.
Yeah.
We're not talking about just teenagers here.
Right.
Old enough to know better. Yeah.
Sure. Well, they believe the lie. They believe the lie that's been taught to them, that they can be, if they want to be homosexual or they want to marry their dog or whatever, they can do that, and that they deserve, they can do anything they want to do, and that they deserve it. It should be given to them. There was a reported last week, positive views of socialism versus capitalism. Among Democrats, 57% had a positive view of socialism. And that was in adults, 1st of August, Gallup poll. Voting Democrats, 57% want to promote socialism. And so if the parents are doing that, the children are doing that as well. But they don't, you try to get them to explain, what socialism is. Oh, that's where the government buys us everything. I saw that a student interview. What? Somebody's got to pay for it. Pastor taught, hey, there's no free lunch. That's the bottom line. You want to talk about secular wisdom, there's no free lunch. And these kids today, these students today, they do not know that. They do not, it just is a foreign concept to them.
The whole issue with stewardship, and the Bible talks about it, is that the person who knows what to do with the increase, with the product, is the person who made it. That's God gave that increase to them because they know what to do with it. and or it's a test for them, you know. But either or. But the point is as that is accomplished, it strengthens the steward and it strengthens those about him, or shows that way of doing things. And you know, who's more worried about whether your roof leaks on your house? You know, the homeowners association or you? You know, that's you know, that's stewardship in its simplest form. So, you know, it's kind of that's what it plays back to.
That's right. Yeah, many people forget that socialism was tried by the Pilgrims when they first landed. You know, it was they all had to get together and they tried that community, that communal farm, and they just about starved to death. We have the story, if you're not familiar with it, it's outlined in the book, The Light and the Glory That We Carry. And they tried that. You know, okay, everybody gets together and everybody comes out and everybody works on the community garden, and then everybody gets to reap the bounty. But when that was happening, oh, the pregnant mothers couldn't go out there, and the mothers with little children couldn't go out there, and you know, the men had toothaches, and oh, it was this and that. And finally, it was put out that said, okay, no more community garden. If you want to eat, you bake, you do your own garden, whatever size you want. You are free to do whatever size garden you want, but it's up to you. You have to raise your own food, is basically what was put out to them in the little Richard paraphrase. And before you knew it, oh man, everybody's garden was thriving, and people had plenty of food for themselves and to share and to trade, because they realized there was no social services to help them out. And that if they didn't go out in the garden, nothing happened. And they would starve. And but, you know, that is not taught anymore. That was tried from the very beginning here, and it didn't work. And we see, you know, what, 400 years later, it doesn't work in Venezuela? Because it doesn't work. It doesn't. The rich get richer. The middle class is destroyed. And the entire society is destroyed. You look down at Venezuela, what, just a few years ago, because they've been having a mess down there for about 3 years now, but just 5-10 years ago, they were one of the richest, most thriving economy and countries down in South America. Just thriving middle class, thriving upper class, very little poor compared to what they have today. And it was mentioned earlier, oil. Oh, of course, oil. Tons of oil, exports, and lots of money. But socialism, oh, when they get that in, we see that same socialism, that same destruction going on in Europe for the same reason. And that is that socialism doesn't work. The democracy that we talk about, that so many people say, oh, well, okay, so we'll have a democracy here. That only lasts for a little while. And that is not what our forefathers had in store. You know, you go back to the pledge for this republic for which it stands, the Pledge of Allegiance. It was not for a democracy, it was for a republic. But that's been done away with. And that is not taught in the public school system either. Yeah, John, it's really not amazing, but it is that here these students are, you know, how you reported, these students are wanting to teach you about the goodness and the way socialism is what we should have, and they have no clue. But I think it's a good example of the you know, that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And there is no knowledge with them.
One of the guys is 74 years old that I've worked with for 20 some years, and the reason he is that way is because he constantly listens to NPR, you know, National Public Radio.
National Jewish Radio.
And it's still, it just brainwashes them into thinking that, well, socialism is a good thing, and no, it's not. And then when you start debating them and you start showing them that it's the same as communism, then, well, I don't want to hear it, you know. And I was like, well, I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree. No, we won't disagree. I'm just telling you how it is. And I'm like, well, I don't care what you tell me. I'm telling you what the Bible says.
That's right. And that's the only fact we can go back to, the only truth. Well, folks, the lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in, got about 15 minutes left in the program this Saturday morning, August 25th.
Looks like your home state of Minnesota is being overrun by Muslims, Jason.
Yeah, it depends on what part you're in.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, I guess it's mainly what, around St. Paul?
Right around Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yeah.
You know, the capital is there, but you know what, I tell you what, what's crazy about that country up there too is you get away, Minneapolis has got a big, huge population right there in the they call it the cities, area. And, if you get out, you get 30, 40 miles away from that, you don't run into anybody that's not a white person. I mean, it's farms and countries and, farms and ranches and dairies and it's amazing.
That sounds like Colorado.
Yeah, I read a story last week. There was they had a Muslim gathering in the football stadium, and 50,000 Muslims were chanting Allah Akbar.
I saw that.
Wow.
And it's interesting how you see, you read the comments. Sometimes the comments are better than the stories, really. One guy's like, boy, we missed our opportunity. We had 50,000 of them in one place. to feed them, to bring them food,
Yeah.
Yeah, to feed them, right? To share the gospel with them.
Yes.
Well, they fail to see the need for, again, we're back to that same thing, but they seem to, like we said, they magnetize to those, what do you call it, metropolitan areas. And it's like the rest of the, and the truth of the matter is all the wealth and strength of a nation is, in the farms and in the mining and in the timber, and that's where all that comes from. The rest of it is, if you shut all that off, these big metropolitan centers they vanish, in a matter of days. I mean, they talk about the fact that if the trucks failed to bring stuff into these big, what is there, 2 or 3 days, Jason and I talked about that, there's only like 2 or 3 days of food in these big warehouses.
Yes.
So it's kind of a, and as far as socialism goes, it's a fact of reality that when the government takes a dollar, they spend 2 cents on their socialist programs, and it's totally unsustainable. They can't, and that's why the rich get richer and the people that they steal from get poorer, is because, in order to spend $10 on a project, I just read an article, they were talking about the roads and how much better they were when they were kept up, the public roads, by, private contractors under contracts, that they were in much, much higher quality back in the 50s, and back in there, that they were of a much higher quality. They lasted much longer. And of course, we've gone to full state control where they buy the equipment, they hire the people, and they do the work. And as a result, our road system, I think everybody can tell, it's it's like, didn't they just resurface this? I mean, it's already shot. So, but it costs 10 times or 100 times as much as it did when you had private people doing it, that's the way that works. That's just the nature of the beast, as far as that goes.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw, but it looks like son of Cain, McCain, is about ready to call it quits here on this earth, and it's interesting that there's a lot of similarities between him and Ted Kennedy with this brain cancer. And that brain cancer came on him pretty quick, and it wasn't long after a lot of treason, in my opinion. In fact, they're not really bringing it up now because he's dying, but it appears that he's a key player in this coup, this attempted coup to take down President Trump, first to get it so he wouldn't be elected as president, and then now to try to derail his presidency. So in reality, there's several Republicans that are more hell-bent at destroying the Trump presidency than the, even the Democrats are. So I was reading some of these comments here, and I'll tell you what, most people have eyes to see and ears to hear. This was on a WND report, but it says, this man has done immeasurable damage to our country. I will leave it at that. Mr. McCain, I hope you are fully prepared to explain to Jesus your supporting of abortion and the murder of 60 million innocent American babies.
Yeah.
May he have mercy on your soul.
Yeah.
And then I would offer McCain some advice. He had better get himself right with his creator. From what I see, the man hasn't done that yet. And, I mean, just on and on. There's really, you know, there's probably 50 things here, and there ain't one of them that's a condolence, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, whether they believe it or not, you know, there will come a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And his word says in more than several places that he is coming back to render recompense. That means to reward every man for what he has done and what he has said. Every man. And, you know, that's...
Reward and punish.
Absolutely. The reward is not always, 72 virgins. Like our 50,000 that were gathered in the stadium the other day. The reward is not always that. But he will recompense. He will come and pay back is another term for it. Give those that which they are due. And it's according to his terms, not anyone else's. It's according to his terms. You know, that's one of the reasons communion is so important. And as we're wrapping up this morning, I'll just turn that into an invite. But, you know, we have to, as busy as we get with work and with family and health issues and things that come up all week long for everybody, we have to take some time. We're instructed to take some time to remember what our Lord and Savior did for us. And as it says in 2 Corinthians, I believe, that we're to judge ourselves according to his word. And if we do that, then he doesn't have to judge us. And we have to do that. We have to remember what he did. We have to remember that his way is right. You know, it's hard for the mind of man to wrap their head around a God that would sacrifice his own son to save a people in their sins. The human mind just can't make sense of that. We all have sons, for us to think, okay, I'll sacrifice my son for a people that have turned away from me, that curse me, that aren't doing what I told them to do, to save them, but we have to remember that's the story. That's the story. And his ways are right. His thoughts are higher than ours. And we have to kind of get back lined up, if not more than once a week, at least once a week. And we gather tomorrow morning at the LaPorte Church of Christ to do that very thing. To praise him, certainly for fellowship, to hear messages, to grow closer to him, to draw near to him, to make that commitment, to decide for ourselves. I don't know about everybody else, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. And I remember our pastor saying one time, you know, it's for me and my house, and it might just be me and my dog, but I am going to do this. And this is where it starts. This is where it starts, making that decision to serve God, and to do what he says. And part of that is to gather with the saints, however it is
not
possible.
Not forsake the assembly.
And not forsake the assembly. That's right. And so...
It's interesting when you deal with these students, you know, that have been indoctrinated through the public school system their whole life and now are in the higher uneducation. They... they say, well, surely you got to agree with global warming, you know, that it's going to destroy the planet and nobody's going to have food. But, you know, the thing you don't realize is read Deuteronomy 28. Have you ever read Deuteronomy 28? No. Well, read the first 15 verses. Those are all the blessings that God promises to bestow upon his people if we do three things: keep his statutes, his commandments, and his laws. That's it. 16 through 68 are the curses. And I said, if we were a godly people that followed his laws, his commandments, and his statutes, we would not have to worry about anything. We wouldn't have to worry about food. We wouldn't have to worry about clean.
That's right.
Shelter. We wouldn't have to worry about anything, because his promises are that he would take care of our people. And he promised that he'd bless this nation more than any other nation on the face of the earth. And he did, as long as we continued to bless him. But as soon as we forget him, that's when everything goes to hell, literally.
Amen. Amen. You know, when we get, when we become like Gideon back in Judges 6, when we become like Gideon, and many of us have, you know, Gideon was beating out the wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. And who doesn't like to save maybe a tax dollar or a dollar here or there from Uncle Sam, they say, right? And so we know we have many that are like Gideon, but the strength that Gideon had is, he said, did not the Lord, or no, how it was, now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And that's when the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength. Because, see, he acknowledged God, it's you. You have done this, Lord. You have done this because we've turned away from you. Your word is true. And when the remnant acknowledges that it's not the blacks' fault, it's not the Mexicans' fault, it's not the communists, not their fault. When we recognize that the Lord has done this because we've turned from him, we'll see that then it acknowledges God. And then go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand. Have I not sent you? And I pray for that day. I pray when we hear that from on high. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Tim. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day and joining us this morning. And we thank you, the remnant. And hopefully, guys, we'll see y'all at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 rolling. Stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more. Stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.